Today, we're doing an Epstein File Decode special, Kubrick's Code edition. We're going to go through some of the theories I presented in my 2014 book, Kubrick's Code, and how they show up in the Epstein Files, from manipulation of the news, the Rothschilds, secret societies, Wayfair furniture stuff, amino combs, frizzle, frazzle, dazzle, all the coded language you love, Larry Salona, and even Wizard of Oz here today on occult symbolism and pop culture. Now, if you're listening and you're like, Isaac, why are you using all these weird terms? You know why? It's because I got a YouTube channel and I'm trying to nurture this thing. I'm trying to grow. Go subscribe, please. Add occult symbolism. I painstakingly put images to convey the points I'm trying to make. If you're already on the supporter feed, you're like, bro, I'm not trying to hear no ads. I'm not trying to hear ads for your delicious Mushroominati Watcher coffee. Mushroom-infused coffee. Well, you could do tier two, and that gets you the video version of the show, ad free, early access, bonus content, the works, okay? Now, big announcement. If you're hearing this in time, I'm going to be on Coast to Coast March 15th, late Sunday night into Monday, all right? I plan, and I ran this by the producer. I don't know if they're going to let me talk about it. I plan to discuss Kubrick and, the Epstein Files. So, let's see what happens, all right? Because there's obviously, like, sensitive subjects involved here, okay? Which, as you know, when I use my coded language on the show, because I got to put it on the YouTube, because that's where everybody is now, there's things that get real dangerous real quick, all right? And if you're always looking for my links to stuff, I put my appearances on an index. Go to my link tree, allmylinks.com/IsaacW, 2 A's for double awesome, and you can see the link. Now, let's get right into it. Media manipulation. That's the name of the game. Kubrick, and I'm going to go through each of these topics. All right, let me back up. I'm going to go through each of these topics, like secret societies, the Rothschilds, media manipulation, and I'm going to tell you how I talked about this in Kubrick's Code, the book I wrote in 2014. Get it on Amazon, Audible, wherever, right? You get a free PDF version of it if you sign up for my Patreon tier one. But we're gonna talk about the Kubrick films, from whence these ideas come from, and then I'm gonna go through the Epstein Files and say, yeah, that's exactly what they were talking about. Told you so. This is a whole "I told you so" moment. You know, if you thought conspiracy people were insufferable before, well, now with the Epstein Files, we're the worst. So, Kubrick films where there is some form of media manipulation in the plot line, because, you know, Kubrick was trying to show us stuff. Let me back up a little bit more, because you're like, who's Kubrick? I guess we got to start there. Stanley Kubrick, the greatest director ever. I've got him tattooed on my arm, in case you didn't know. David Lynch is a close second. But anyways, Kubrick, he did all the great films. 2001 A Space Odyssey, The Shining, Clockwork Orange, Full Metal Jacket, Eyes Wide Shut, and all of these, Lolita, all of these have some element of conspiracy that we need to look at, because I think he was trying to reveal to us a truth about what goes on with these elites. There's people that claim, well, you know, Kubrick's part of it. He was doing it too. Maybe. I don't believe that, but maybe. I think that his work suggests otherwise. I think he was like Lynch. He was very good at speaking to the subconscious. He would put messages and ideas in the films that if you didn't know what you were looking for, you might miss it, right? We're gonna talk about some stuff here and there as we go on, like Vivian Kubrick's statements that I don't agree with about some of his stances on things. Anyway, let's get into it. Kubrick films where there's some form of media manipulation. Clockwork Orange. You know, in the movie Clockwork Orange, Alex, the main character, he sort of gets the MK Ultra treatment, and plot spoiler, things go bad and he almost basically dies. So the press and the government have to sort of rehabilitate their image, right? And they're like, oh, you know, the scientist that the minister of the interior goes to visit Alex in the hospital. He's all in the cast and stuff. And he's like, well, you know, the guy who really screwed you up, it wasn't us. It was this subversive writer. And, you know, we put him away and everything's great. And oh, by the way, do you want a job? We're going to give you a job in the government. You know, because it's all like PSYOP stuff. Then you got Full Metal Jacket, where if you recall, there's a scene when Joker Man, he is the war correspondent, right? Played by Matthew Modine. And in the film, the, what do you call it? Like the editor of the newspaper there for Joker Man, he's like, hey, you need to change the title of this article from Search and Destroy to Sweeping Clear. Why? Because it's propaganda. It's, you know, the whole talk about winning the hearts and minds of the Vietnamese people, right? Again, PSYOP, psychological operation. Then in The Shining, the book version of The Shining has much more information. I did a three-parter on The Shining last year up on the YouTube, by the way. Of course, the clips got snuffed out, but I don't know what to tell you. I can't get the clips on YouTube. They hate me. So there is more of an effort in the book to suppress what really happened at the hotel. It's more of the storyline than in the film per se. But you know, in the film they say, oh, only the greatest people here, the elites, that's who. But there's this whole suppression of what really happened in the hotel that Jack stumbles upon the books with the newspaper clippings and so on. So it's about suppressing data. Fake news is also suppressing data. Information, I should say. Then Eyes Wide Shut, right? The best, you know, there's an article written by Larry Salona. We're going to talk about that later. Actually, we'll go into that. It talks about how this model, you know, died from an overdose. So let's go to the Epstein files. Where does it prove in the Epstein files that there are hidden forces manipulating our news? I'm going to tell you where. EFTA 00775965 from redacted to Epstein. The subject is R. Sophia. This was from February 7th, 2010, 1:27 p.m. And the email basically tells us that the NFL is rigged. We're going to get into the news, other media, more like the news here in a second. It says, hi, Jeffrey, how are you? Where are you? When do you come back in town? Here's a photo of our Sophia. You remember, i.e. soon Princess Sophia? The whole Swedish press is looking for her. While she's in Africa, take care. Saints will win. Signed, B.E. And this was, of course, the Saints would win in the Super Bowl that year, I guess. Now, then you got another one. EFTA 00163485. An email from redacted to redacted that was a foreword of an FBI agent sending info to redacted in June 2025. And it says, June 2025. Okay. It says, Deputy Director Bongino will be on Fox News with Sean Hannity tonight. Director Patel is recording a Joe Rogan podcast episode tomorrow, which is expected to drop on Friday. Now, this little secret scroll redacted email is making note of this through another email. And it says, for your situational awareness, my guess is Epstein will be a big subject on these appearances. What does that mean? And why are they still talking about, you know, lots of questions here. Like, why are they redacting who these people are that are talking? Why are there emails in 2025 that are in the Epstein files when he died in 2019? Why are there new files being made in 2025 when at the same time the Department of Justice and Trump insisted there are no files? It's all a hoax. Nothing's real. Oh, no. Why are these names redacted? Why is there an FBI correspondence being sent to who? These secret scroll things, by the way, you know, he's going to be on Joe Rogan. Make sure they're going to talk about the thing. You know, if it's all a hoax and nothing happened, why do they care? Talk about it. Who cares? Is it because there's handlers involved? Is there handlers involved in all of the aspects of media from podcasting to the news? I would argue so. Right. Which is why, like, you know, I joke with you guys, like I sell coffee. One of the reasons I sell my own coffee and my own super soft t-shirts is because these are products I stand behind. These are my products. Because if I don't put a sponsorship of my own products, I will put a sponsorship of someone else. Coffee My Crypto, they've been a longtime sponsor of this show. And it's because I use them. I use them every day. I read James's emails and I follow the crypto markets. I follow all investing markets, right? Same way I follow Cash Daddy. Shout out Sweet Sammy T and Howie Dewey and Johnny Woodard. I follow investing stuff. So like these are products I use. Because the other option is I just take on corporate sponsorships. And the problem with that is this opens me up to things I don't agree with. Remember, I had 7 C's on here and he was breaking it down a year or so ago. And he was like connecting all these dots of the wellness company to these QAnon right-wing grifting units. And I was like, bro. And that's the point. They funnel money to make sure that the right things get said by the right voices. And I don't want that. I want my voice to be the voice and I stand independent. And that's what I do. And that's why I'm always talking about, oh, buy the coffee, buy the shirt. I know it's annoying. I know it. I get that. You know, my supporter feeds are probably like, hey, you're not annoying at all. It's because I cut all that crap out for you guys, right? As much as I can, at least. But my point is, like, there's coordination happening behind the scenes. These emails prove that, all right? As well does this email, EFTA00740192, from Epstein to Redacted. Emails mostly redacted from the most transparent president ever. And we see in 2009, Epstein emails this person and says, are you naked? Redacted replies, is this a Joe Rogan? There she is wearing a push-up bra and a skirt as wide as toilet paper, complaining that men are always looking at her as a sex object. I don't know what that has to do with anything. I thought it was curious that they're talking about Joe Rogan and like, I don't know what that means. I don't know if Joe is in the room with any of these people. I don't think so. I like Joe Rogan. But it makes you wonder because all these like dark enlightenment technocrats are lining up to be on his podcast. Elon Musk and Peter Thiel and Andreessen and Trump himself. I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't know that he knows what's going on. I don't think he's part of these conversations necessarily. I actually don't. But I do think they see him as a valuable tool to use. Right? That he is the new mainstream media. Like nobody's watching CNN. People are watching and listening to Joe Rogan. And again, like I disagree with some things that Joe Rogan says, like the support of Trump. I'm not a Trump supporter, never will be, never have been. But I will defend Joe Rogan. Like he's had Bernie Sanders on. That's my dog right there. I like Bernie Sanders. He's actually pretty bipartisan with stuff. Right? He gives other people a voice, which is great. I love that. I'm just saying that they use him as a tool. Whether he knows it or not, I don't know. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. I certainly don't know. EFTA 01620244. Some person texting somebody else, but that someone else never replies, which is kind of weird. And at one point, they sent a Fox News article about a probe into Trump's buddy, which is presumably Alex Acosta, as you find out when you dig into it, Trump's Secretary of Labor, who was part of the Epstein sweetheart deal legal team, you know. Because again, the whole story now people are saying like, oh, you know, Epstein got arrested and then Trump called the FBI and was like, I'll cooperate, I'll tell you everything. And I don't buy that for 1 second. I think he was trying to cover his own butt, right? Oh, Trump was so upset about Epstein and him messing with kids that he proceeds to hire all of his attorneys and give them cabinet positions. And like, he didn't distance himself from him at all. Like, I just don't buy it. I just don't. I refuse to buy it. Same way that it, oh, really? The same guy who they said, you're going to release the Epstein files? And he's like, I don't know, maybe. And then he's like, well, it's not true. There are no files. And then, well, it's a hoax. And, well, we can't release them because they're the names. We need to protect the names. And it's this whole weird stuff. Oh, it turns out it's only 2% of the files. I mean, come on. Like, it's just, I mean, people are going to disagree with me. And I know that, like, you know, leave a comment below. I'll read it. Tell me why I'm wrong. Tell me why I'm wrong. Why he's the white knight. Why he's the savior. Because I'm still waiting for that to happen. Anyhow, this person sends a text that says, continue to ignore Ann Coulter on Hannity, attack, op-ed, not my skill set. Sassy's calling me a child, R-A-P-I-S-T, is nuts. Sorry, dude, you mean ignore or responding makes it worse. So people, they're talking about how to handle media appearances and people that are worried about fallout of being too close with Epstein, right? And there's articles in here about Robert Kraft and how he was buds with Trump. Articles about Michael Cohen, in the same email, it says Michael and Reid Hoffman, presumably, I don't know that, allegedly, maybe, probably, because he's all over the files. Michael and Reid at my house Monday, 8:30 morning, trying to strategize PR my craziness. You around? Do you think I can do my own video interview and upload it on YouTube? No sandbagging interview format or just a diary-like piece? I Woody said he would help edit. Not sure how to stage, what points to make, but better than trying to do an interview that I have no experience doing. Goal to humanize the monster. Anything written carries little weight. Tomorrow, the juxtaposition. Millions of grammatical errors in this whole thing. It's shocking that these are the people running our country. They don't know how to spell. They don't know how to write an email. They don't know how to put grammar together. It's shocking. Juxtaposition of Michael Cohen testifying while Trump is with Kim is wild. One of the most important facts for the public seems to be the girls used the agreement to get money and only after then tried to have it voided. And the idea is to get into the public realm, the story that the girls used the agreement to get money from them and their attorneys. And it's a cash grab. Like, that's what they're trying to present. In the same way that you see people softening the language of what's happening with these Epstein circles. And there's like, well, these young women, these old rich guys love young women. And like, no, these were girls. And that's not when they're under 18, it's called statutory. Okay. It's not the same thing. These are not young women that they, were just, you know, engaging in titillation conversation or whatever. Right. EFTA 0243760 7. Al Seckel, who we'll talk about in a section I have about picking on, Mormons on a different show. I'm going to talk about Mormons and the Epstein files. Seckel laments about how the media gatekeepers and the experts are losing their power, right? Remember that? Like, oh, trust the experts. They're losing their power. And it's true. And they knew this back then. That's why they pivot to other sources to get their information out. EFTA 0161 5648. Steve Bannon texts with a redacted in March of 2019 about what seems to be how to handle these claims in the media about all this inappropriate stuff. He says, we should get a draft and see how well it takes to get us from pedo trafficker to prostitution. Exactly what I just said. They're trying to relabel this as, well, this is just, you know, young female sex workers. And it's like, no, these were children. These were children. They were trafficking kids. Redacted sends Bannon a text the next day with a link to an article that showed up in New York Times. It was an opinion letter called Jeffrey Epstein's Attorneys, A Fair Plea Deal. And the attorneys for a man accused of essay of young women defend the prosecutor's decision to drop federal charges against him. So there you see the language they use is of women, not girls. And it says this in the article because you can retrieve it on like Wayback Machine. The number of young women involved in the investigation has been vastly exaggerated. There was no international trafficking operation, and there was never evidence that Mr. Epstein hosted these kinds of parties at his home. Finally, Mr. Epstein has gone to prison and made enormous monetary settlements relying on his negotiated agreement. He is entitled to finality like every other defendant. It's signed by Kenneth Starr, Martin Weinberg, Jack Goldberger, and Lily Ann Sanchez. And Bannon replies to this person, dude, when you pull the trigger, you don't F around. And then Bannon later says, did you hire the crisis comms guy so we can drive the narrative off of that great Times piece? You see how they're doing this? You see what they're doing? And then Redacted replies, he's here with me now. He thinks stick to legal. A deal is a deal. And then a few months from now, decide how to deal with the pervert hermit image and fill the box with another narrative. They are playing chess, turns out. Then another article on New York Times sent defending Robert Kraft's, you know, hand party. And Bannon says, my boys. Now you see why Tom Brady threatened the people who were joking at his Netflix roast. Remember that? At the Netflix roast, a couple comedians are getting a little close to talking about Robert Kraft's hand party. And Tom Brady leaned in and threatened them. Isn't that interesting? EFTA 00705992. I talked about this one several times. Jess Staley, the CEO of Barclays at the time, writes to Epstein about Jay-Z. He says, you want to know why we are not Sao Paulo? Watch the TV ads on the Super Bowl. It's all about hip blacks and hip cars with white women. The group that should be in the streets has been bought off by Jay-Z. Now, what was going on February 3rd, 2014, when this email was sent? Well, Sao Paulo, the people were protesting their government's spending of money because the government was wasting tons of money on stadiums for the FIFA World Cup when really what they wanted was social services. They needed housing and healthcare and all that stuff. It's just like that study that came out that basically proves that whatever you want as like a taxpayer normie, you're not going to get it. It means virtually nothing to what actually passes through his laws and policies. The rich people, the elites, those are the policies that get passed through. All right, so that's media manipulation. The next subject is the Rothschilds. That's right. Sweet Sammy T was on Danny Jones talking about the Rothschilds. Very good interview. I highly recommend it. The Rothschilds plays a part in Kubrick's Code as well, specifically in Eyes Wide Shut. Kubrick literally filmed the entire orgy scene in a Rothschild home. In the Somerton Mansion is what it's called. And in the film, the Somerton Mansion is the only scene virtually in the entire film where you don't see a Christmas tree. And as I point out in Kubrick's Code, the documentary I made, which also you can get when you sign up at Patreon or a VIP section, which I revamped all the welcome notes and the links when you sign up for VIP section or Patreon, excuse me, Patreon, to make it a little more clear where to go to get the Kubrick's Code documentary. Anyway, when I played the clip, Tom Cruise, when he gets out of the car to go to the big orgy party at the Somerton Mansion, he walks up to the gate. And if you listen closely, you can hear the crow cawing three times. Right? A play on Peter denying Christ. So the mansion, the Somerton Mansion, where he filmed that scene, was actually the mansion built for Baron Meyer Amschel Rothschild. This is the patriarch, the first one in the Rothschild bloodline to make things happen in the 1700s. He started banking businesses. And they would basically control the entire world through finances. And that's where the big conspiracy starts about the Rothschilds. Like the British winning the Napoleonic Wars against the French because they would fund certain things, right? And, you know, side note, Jay-Z's bestie, Jay Electronica, was dating Kate Rothschild for a while. Like, how do you think they got in the same room? Okay, these people are all connected. Now, Mini Mustache Man commissioned Joseph Goebbels, his minister of propaganda, to make films to support their views about the Rothschilds. And there was one about saying, you know, the Rothschilds shouldn't be trusted because of this, that, and the other. And there's all kinds of conspiracies about them, right? In fact, I bought a book. Jay Dyer told me to buy he recommended a Rothschild book. I can't read the author's name. I bought a copy of it. I'm going to read it sometime. Eyes Wide Shut also, if you recall, had all those iconic masks, one of which is a replica from Buckinghamshire. If you're English and I'm pronouncing that wrong, drop a comment. Let me know. Is it Buckinghamshire? I feel like that's not right. Anyway, the mask is that you see in Eyes Wide Shut is on a statue in Buckinghamshire. And guess who the largest landowners are of Buckinghamshire, right? The Rothschilds. Also, this is also where the Hellfire Cave Secret Society was located. We're going to talk about secret societies here in a minute. All right. The Hellfire Club, of course, where they were doing the first sexy time parties, right? They were worshiping the devil under the ground. They would put tunnels underneath churches and Ben Franklin's in there, you know, twerking on them headlights, I guess. And when you went into the Hellfire Caves, they had a sign up top, right? And what did that sign say? It said, "Do what thou wilt." Do what thou wilt. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? There's a bald guy, who said he loved Satan and the Baphomet goat with the bobs. He said, "Do what thou wilt." Also, man, who was that? Oh, and then Jay-Z was wearing that hoodie that one time when the making of Who Run This Town or whatever. And the hoodie said, "Do what thou wilt" on it. Man, I mean, are these people connected? I don't know. No way. Anyway, so if you search Rothschild on the Epstein files, you get 12,028 results. So there's a lot more to dig through here. I don't know. I just picked a few that I had found that I had heard about here and there. EFTA01009874 from redacted to Epstein. And the email later shows Ariana de Rothschild from Epstein. I'm pretty sure this was the email that Sam Tripoli was talking about on Danny Jones. Okay. Anyway, Epstein writes, "I thought you'd find amusing that in a Harvard class on Mini Mustache Man, they told the story of when he was so poor he lived in a shelter for the homeless and destitute that had been financed by the three wealthy families, the Gutmans, the Epsteins, and the Rothschilds. It turns out to be accurate." And Ariana writes back to Epstein and says, "Whether it's a way to say that generosity is not rewarded or that the conspiracy theory still exists is quite pathetic." Epstein replies, "First, it turns out to be 100% true. Mini Mustache Man was selling his clothes and artwork and living in a shelter funded by the you-know-whos. Epstein, Rothschild, and Gutman. No conspiracy. The Epsteins were the Vienna bankers, bought their bank on the ring, hence still Palais Epstein. Where are you? I'm in bed with your cold." Again, these people, it's shocking. First, it's shocking how much they email each other. Second, it's shocking how terrible they are at writing emails. Ariana replies, "I know it's true." So there you go. Illuminate confirm. "But regularly used to say that Rothschilds planned and supported Mini Mustache Man in mass destruction to gain more power." So, I mean, they kind of confirm this stuff, which is kind of crazy, right? Because there's this whole long conspiracy about Mini Mustache Man and where he comes from. And Sam talks about it on Danny Jones. And the claim is that his father was born through the Rothschild family, and they coordinated the whole thing. In fact, I'm digging deep into that realm of stuff right now. I'm very methodical. I like to kind of figure out how the whole system works, but I've got tons of notes on this Europa DVD, as well as Sabotage V and Jacob Frank. I just want to be a little more educated on all this stuff before I start making content about it, but it's coming. It's coming. I know it's the bottom of the rabbit hole. Then they start talking about a video with girls that Ariana was trying to send via a Dropbox and then the mail. I don't know. Anyway, Sam Tripoli on Danny Jones explains all this in the sense that the big plan was to get the you-know-whos back into the place they went. So the Rothschilds fund these world wars. And then part of that, they funded Germany to have this great economy so that the people loved Mini Mustache Man. And then you still hear that to the day. In fact, on the Europa documentary, they go through this whole thing about how great Germany was. And he turned it around because, Frankfurt was a cesspool full of cross-dressing weirdos and kids pimping themselves out and all this crazy stuff. And here he comes with his conservative family values and great economy. And it's true though. Germany was thriving apparently. Right. And you watch the videos, the people seem very happy. Well, he's suggesting that it's all by design because you needed the people to go and fight wars and die for them. And if the economy is still in the toilet, people are I'm not doing that. Interesting. EFTA02470755. Email from Peter Thiel to Epstein. I talked about Peter Thiel in my Dark Enlightenment series. I talked about him later on in early 25. And then later in 25, I did the whole Peter Thiel and the Antichrist lectures show. Oh boy, this guy, I think he's the ringleader. And he distanced himself. Oh, I don't know Epstein. I don't know nothing about the island. And turns out none of that's true. Does it matter? To me, it does. To some boomers, they refuse to look at any of this stuff. Anyways, for Peter Thiel to Epstein in February 2016, Epstein says, "I'm in New Mexico 3rd and 4th if you'd like to visit." Thiel replies, "Will be hard as I'm scrambling on getting ready for China." "Anyone else in New Mexico?" Epstein replies, "As you probably know, I represent the Rothschilds. I was hoping to figure out a way for the bank that has $160 billion in management can do something in tech, best client list in the world, prehistoric products. It can wait. Good luck in China. I'll be in Europe again, then island. So if you want to come around the world going west, come to the island. Or if you would like to meet in Saudi at the end of the month." Thiel writes, "Certainly not in Saudi. Just think I will avoid the Middle East for the next decade or so. Should be back on the East Coast in late April, May, sometime in New York City or on the island then." First of all, what are prehistoric products? What are we talking about exactly? Are we talking about Baal and Moloch and the things that you feed them? I don't know. Ask Peter Thiel. He knows. Are we going to ask Peter Thiel? No. No one's going to ask Peter Thiel. No one's going to get to the bottom of any of this stuff, right? We're just going to pretend none of this exists. And this is the Carnelian Law. Like, we're just going to let them do it, apparently. I mean, I don't know what the answer is. I do know I want some more answers. The answer is a full trial with full testimonies from everybody that's in these files. That's the answer. The FBI's already got their string chart of what's going on and what happened. They're not releasing that. There's a big 1,000-page report probably about the extent of this and who's involved. And what, we're supposed to believe that they're just like, "Well, I don't know. We collected millions of emails and videos. We don't know." Oh, bull crap, dude. They know. And it should make you mad that they're trying to gaslight you and be like, "Look, there's no files." Okay, there's files, but there's nothing in them. Okay, there's files, but here's half of them. Oh, there's files, but here's only 2% of them. They're just going to keep walking all over us. And like, that's the plan. That's always been the plan. So I don't know what we do about that. Next, Wayfair. Remember that? Remember that? Simpler times. Not much simpler, but simpler times. And when we talk about Wayfair, you're probably like, "Wayfair? What are you talking about?" Well, in 2020, this was a hot topic. I mean, believe it or not. We were talking about this in Kubrick's Code in 2014 in a way. And in 2020, when the Wayfair thing popped off, I did a film analysis of Lolita, Kubrick's early 60s film. Lolita's the whole story is about an old dude trying to get with an underage girl, first off. And there's a fixer played by Peter Sellers, the Pink Panther. And he talks about using a man as a piece of furniture. "I got a man you can use as a piece of furniture. I can help you witness executions." And I talked about it on my Lolita show in 2020. And I was like, "What the hell are we talking about? That seems weird." There's always this human furniture element, right? Because that's the whole Wayfair. Let me back up. So in 2020, conspiracy people saw on Wayfair, you could buy these like cabinets and chairs, and they were $15,000, $20,000, $40,000 for a cabinet, which made no sense. It's not made out of gold, right? And the people said, "Well, this is weird," because the cabinets also had names next to them. It was like, you know, "Liquor cabinet, Stacy," or whatever, right? And, you know, "Liquor cabinet, Brittany," and had weird names. And people were like, "Is this coded language? Like, people were buying kids on Wayfair?" Right? Outlandish. I will give you that. Outlandish. And it got dismissed as like, "Well, yeah, there was just some technical difficulties. We fixed it," whatever, whatever. Right? And from here, I started looking at all these things. And I was like, dude, there's so much human furniture to be found. Like in the movie Bruno, He uses Paul Abdul, or remember he has these workers, he's interviewing Paul Abdul and he has these workers come out and makes her sit on it and stuff. And it's kind of a silly scene, but looking at it and now I'm like, dude, is that a thing they do? It's also in, I believe Squid Games, if I'm not mistaken, at the end of Squid Games in the last episode where you meet the Illuminati season one. But in, let's stick to Kubrick. So Lolita Quilty, the character, makes mention of using a man as a piece of furniture. Clockwork Orange, literal human furniture in the milk bar, in the Corova milk bar, which we're going to talk about. Dren Chrome. I got to be careful with my language because that's also in the Corova milk bar. In Eyes Wide Shut, a man, if you watch the unedited, because there's like an edited version and an unedited version. The unedited version, you could see the man being used as a sexy time chair. And there's people, you know, getting busy with it on top of this dude. But if you watch the edited version, it's kind of blacked out. You know, shout out Ryan Page. I interviewed director Ryan Page on this in 2020 because he had found this. So let's go to the Epstein files. EFTA 0054527. It's a Wayfair receipt from 2018 from Karina Shuliak to Bella Klein for $8,453. For what, right? I'm sure there's furniture on there for $8,000. Nothing shady going on here. Problem is the description's completely blank. Why would there be a Wayfair receipt with a blank description? It's not redacted with a black box. It's blank, which I believe in my conspiratorial mind that the DOJ whited out this section. They didn't want, because if you redacted it, people would say, why are you redacting the name of the furniture? Right? But if you white it out so it looks like there's nothing there, right? Call me crazy. Another email, EFTA 0043865, which is one of many emails of much concern about getting Woody Allen, Woody, his chairs. They're very concerned about Woody getting his chairs. Very upset about this. There's emails between Leslie Groff and Epstein and Woody's assistant for these French bistro cafe folding side chairs, and they're very concerned. They're monitoring the shipment. In one of the emails, you find the receipt. It's six chairs for $17.99. So the price isn't outrageous. I'll give you that. It's not a $20,000 cabinet named Lucy. But if you go to EFTA 0215397, you confirm it's Woody Allen on this email, and his assistant says it's for Woody Allen. So I don't know what happened. Did Woody get his chairs? I hope so. I hope these rich elites can make sure that he gets the bistro chair. I can see why you'd be really concerned about that. Leave a comment. You think they're really doing this stuff with the Wayfair thing? I'm a convert. Back when I covered it, I did a whole show about the Wayfair thing. I was like, I don't know, man. This seems like some wild QAnon nonsense. Now I'm like, no, they're doing it. They're doing it, I guess. Larry Salona. Again, let's talk Kubrick's Code. Eyes Wide Shut. And there's a scene. If you haven't seen Eyes Wide Shut, I don't know what you're doing here. Go watch the movie. And I did six or seven episodes of a deep dive. I am the expert on Eyes Wide Shut. Look at my eyes. I am the expert. All right. Lots of people talk about it. Jay Dyer was talking about it before me. Jay Widener was talking about it before me. But I've dug very deep. I bought the book, the Kubrick study. So I bought the book, The Making of Eyes Wide Shut. And in that book, they reference a book called Cult and the Occult that Stanley Kubrick had read in preparation to make Eyes Wide Shut. I tracked that book down and bought that book. That was like $150 or something like that. I've got it over there. You can't even get the dang thing anymore. Well, I mean, you couldn't get it back when it was out of print, but I bought it from England. Anyway, my point is, if you want to go deep into Eyes Wide Shut, I am the source for you, all right? I've gone so deep into it. I did a lecture in Vegas. I should do it again now that there's a little more interest in Eyes Wide Shut. But I don't know that anyone's dug as deep. I mean, Rob Ager, he's probably gone deeper than me, actually, to be fair. The collative learning guy, he's gone deeper into Kubrick than me. All right. And then also another shout out, you know, like I said, Jay Dyer, Jay Widener, and then, man, what's his name? Hold on. Let me get it. William Snyder. William Snyder. He's real smart on this too. And Sean McCann. There's a lot of people that dug into this. Let me retract that. Sorry, I'm on some high tea stuff today, and I'm feeling froggy. But yeah, anyway, I am an expert on Kubrick. All right, let's say that. An expert on Eyes Wide Shut. All right. Not to brag. But, okay. Back to what I was saying. In the story, Dr. Bill Harford, you know, Tommy Salami, picks up a newspaper, reads an article, and the headline is Ex-Beauty Queen in Hotel Drugs Overdose. Right? But he knows the truth. He was at the party. Right? He was at the party. And that was Mandy. She offered herself up as a sacrifice to let Tommy Salami go home. And Tommy's like, are you saying the news is in on this? Kubrick was telling you there was fake news back in 99. Tommy Salami's like, bro, is this fake news? Because she didn't drug overdose. She was sacrificed at the orgy house. And then he even double checks. He goes to the morgue and he's staring at Mandy's corpse. Right? Because he doesn't believe it. And now he's shook, right? But they wanted to seem like that's the easy answer. Drug overdose is always like, okay, case closed, call it a wrap. But the reality is she was involved in an elite ritual of sacrifice. So Larry Salona, why are we talking about him, right? Because Larry Salona Kubrick hired him, an actual journalist for the New York Post. Kubrick hires him as a consultant on the film and has him write up this fake newspaper page for Tommy Salami to read at the cafe. Why would you go to that length? Why not just write the damn thing? You know what I mean? That's why Kubrick was the man. He baked in layers and layers in this Kubrickology realm. Strangely enough, Larry Salona would write about Kubrick's death in 1999. He said, legendary filmmaker Stanley Kubrick was happy joking around and completely at peace just hours before he died of a heart attack in his sleep. He was up Saturday night and in a very good spirits, said a Hollywood source close to Kubrick, who died at his English country estate Sunday morning at age 70. He had just learned that Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman and the executives at Warner Brothers had screened his new movie, Eyes Wide Shut, and absolutely loved it. He was happy joking around and completely at peace and was already thinking about a new project, the source said. Then he went to bed as usual. The next morning, his wife found him dead. He had suffered a heart attack in his sleep. It was completely unexpected. An autopsy revealed that Kubrick died of natural causes. Now, we all know that the ABCs are able to make stuff look like this, okay? And the story is, the claim is that the Warner Brothers executives saw the Kubrick film, and they were like, oh, you're not showing all of this to the public. And supposedly they cut out 23 to 25 minutes is the claim. I've never seen proof, like hard proof of that. I believe it. It doesn't mean I've seen proof of it, though, okay? There's two different things. And they took him out because the movie didn't get released until after he died. So Larry Salona was also alleged to be the first to break the story on the death of JFK Jr. Why does that matter? Well, first off, Hulu's got a whole show about JFK Jr. and his dating life and death, which is not that good. The soundtrack's great, though. I'll give it that. The 90s bangers, man. They went deep cut bangers for 90s songs. Anyway, JFK Jr. is curious because it's part of the QAnon thing, right? QAnon was like, oh, JFK Jr. is coming back to life in Texas. And because he died on the same day, July 16th, 1999, that Eyes Wide Shut was released in the U.S. theaters. That's important. Kubrick made that part of the contract. He said it has to be released July 16th, 1999. I did a whole show a year or 2 years ago about the importance and the ritualistic elements of that date. July 16, 1945, you had the Trinity test where the atomic bomb tore the veil and made all the UFOs come through L. Ron Hubbard, Church of Somethingology, and Jack Parsons out there beating on his meat in front of L. Ron Hubbard. And then also, and it ties into Twin Peaks and Kenneth Grant and all kinds of crazy chaos. Also, the July 16, 1969, when, or 68, 69, when the Apollo 11 launched, which is part of the Jay Widener Shining Apollo 11 theory, the faking the moon landing, right? And then a lot of people say, oh, Kubrick didn't fake the moon landing. His own daughter, Vivian Kubrick, said on Alex Jones's show that he did not do that. And I don't believe her. She's also a member of Somethingtology. She also is estranged from Stanley. She also said that Stanley would be a huge Trump supporter, which I don't buy for 1 second. Anyway, I don't want to get on a soapbox right now. And I think she was saying that, yeah, because look at Dr. Strangelove, look at Full Metal Jacket. Like, those were critiques of war, basically. And, I mean, Trump's clearly a war president, right? We've overthrown two governments in the last 6 months. Venezuela, Iran, are trying to do regime change. Like, it's no different. It's the same thing, different person in charge, you know. Anyway, the point is that July 16, 1999, very important date ritualistically, and JFK Jr. also died on that date. Now, I've read that Larry Salona, this ties into Epstein again, his name is an anagram for Royal Lancers, which is the unit in the British Army of which Prince Andrew, Epstein's buddy, was a member. Kind of weird. Larry Salona also wrote an article July 2nd, 2020 in the New York Post. Ghislaine Maxwell, longtime Jeffrey Epstein associate, arrested. So he was there to break that. He was also the first to publish the photo of Epstein's body being taken from prison after he, you know, did what he did to himself. Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge. The only thing he's missing is the, if he took the photo of the ear shot that Trump took and subsequently healed. I mean, who doesn't get shot in the ear with a bullet and it's healed with no scar tissue? I mean, like, they think we're really dumb, and some of us are, to be fair. What's very odd here is that like I told you, I'm on some high tea stuff. I'm ready to fight today. I'm ready to fight. What's very odd here is that the ideas from Kubrick's film Eyes Wide Shut is about the elites, right? They gather, they're doing these rituals, they've got masked, you know, sexy time parties, and there's a ritual sacrifice, you know, it's murder. And we know this stuff could be real because of Bohemian Grove, right? We know that this stuff's real because the Catholic Church covered up all the messing with kids. We know it's real because the Hellfire Club existed and Benjamin Franklin down there at them red lights twerking on them headlights. And recall Mike Tyson, and it just goes deeper. Like, Mike Tyson was on Rogan talking about how there was elites hunting humans. Do you remember this? Remember that when he got in trouble for punching old dude on the plane? He talked about that. And then there's emails talking about human hunting. We're going to cover that in a different episode. I'm focused only on Kubrick today. Anyways, so Larry Salona writes this newspaper article in Eyes Wide Shut, talks about Mandy. And it sounds like Ghislaine Maxwell, because in the article, you can read it. If you see my book, Kubrick's Code, I zoomed in on the text. It says, she has many important friends in the fashion and entertainment worlds, and she believed she'd break through in the end. It was just a matter of time. And in fact, it repeats it twice. Okay, as I noted. So if you dive back into the whole Epstein conspiracy, you can see that this is relevant to the reality of who Epstein was dabbling with from the fashion and entertainment world, right? If you look at Epstein's Black Book, Bill Clinton, Prince Andrew, Donald Trump, Bill Cosby, Tony Blair, Ron Burkle, Chelsea Clinton, Henry Kissinger, Alec Baldwin, John Kerry, Woody Allen, right? In fact, I just released an episode of my other podcast, Breaking Social Norms, where we get even spicier on things. We talked about Justin Bieber, Selena Gomez, and Epstein, right? Because Hailey Bieber, her father is Stephen Baldwin. And I said multiple times on that episode, because I kind of defended Stephen, right? Because people are like, oh, he's a weirdo, you know? And like, to be fair, like, we're Orthodox Christians in this household, but we also judge Christians pretty heavily because they act weird sometimes. And I'm like, why are you guys being so extra, right? And I said, look, I think some of these people, they witness or they experience some really dark things. And if you had to go through those things, you would be overly embracing and weird about Christianity too, right? When your life is threatened or truly gets saved from like being deep into this dark pit of something, you would have a different sort of appreciation for it. It's kind of like what I was thinking, right? Like if you knew there was real evil, like I think I know real evil is happening with these files. Like I'm like, bro, they're doing all this stuff. I haven't lived through it though. I haven't seen it with my own eyes. I haven't been around these demons that do this stuff. Okay. And we talked about an Epstein file from Catherine Keating to Epstein, talking about inviting Alec Baldwin to dinner. And that's all I really found out about Alec Baldwin. But Alec Baldwin is in Epstein's black book. So I don't know how much that implicates him, but I think what's curious, when it's tied back into Kubrick, Kubrick considered Alec Baldwin and Kim Basinger to be the couple in Eyes Wide Shut. And then he obviously went with Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman. He also considered Woody Allen to play the role, right, as the main character of Eyes Wide Shut. So anyway, what I'm saying is that I think a lot of these pieces come together in a way, all right? And I think Kubrick knew it. I think he was doing this stuff on purpose. And it goes to show, like, the attitudes of the elites would definitely have a slave for sexy time. They would definitely hit him with the it's murder. And then definitely get a hold of their buddies in the mainstream media and be like, hey, say that it was a drug overdose. No one will look at it. But Larry Salona, we already knew this, but there's an Epstein file that shows he was on the Lolita Express flight log with Epstein in 1999. They would go from New York to Palm Beach, and they would return with two extra women. So Larry Salona, Illuminati confirmed too, I guess. I don't know. He's in the files. How did Kubrick know all of this stuff? How did he know? Right? Secret societies. Let's talk about that. That's exactly what Eyes Wide Shut's about, is secret societies doing this stuff. So let's go to, and then in The Shining, he says, who stays at this place? And Stuart Allman's like, only the finest people. The finest. EFTA 0240-7727, a 2010 email from Redacted to Epstein. And this person says to Epstein, suggestions for an old guy, super smart, well-connected, that wants to continue legacy of old school secret society? What does it mean? What did Epstein reply? We don't know. It's not in the files. Because you remember, we only got 2%. At best, half of the emails. At worst, 2%. Because people say, well, there's only 2% of the files released because the rest is all video files and those are massive files. Whatever. EFTA 0173865574 from Epstein to Redacted in 2016. Epstein says, Peter Thiel, or is this Redacted? Shoot, sorry, I don't know. Someone in the conversation says, Peter Thiel loved the secret society idea. He has done a lot of work on the concept. All failed so far. Okay, Epstein said that. Sorry, I'm looking at my notes. Redacted replies with a smiley face emoji thingy and says, let's do it. Excuse me? What's the secret society, fellas? Who's going to ask Peter Thiel? Who's going to ask him? EFTA 0120943. There's some iMessage, like iPhone messages, apparently, from Epstein to some other people. This is 2017. It's weird. It starts out with Woody Allen, whose number is redacted, but his name remains. And he's texting with Epstein. And it said, Woody asks, do you need anything? Epstein says, a young Asian, not beaches. Then corrects it to Bichette. Okay, and they're talking about him being sick. So there's an autoimmune disease called Bichette. I guess that's what that means. Then the convo somehow switches to Epstein with two redacted people. Later, you can see the name Valeria Popko that they, I guess, forgot to redact. I don't know. And something odd here. On this message thread, the redacted people say, Bill Hyman has some ideas on how to create a business around this and to monetize the concepts, plant to human translational research. And don't worry, he's incredibly discreet. Also, Jeff Ling, the former head of DARPA and Total Genius, is also my good friend and very supportive. Didn't give a ton of detail, but he says he will do whatever or even help run advise. He knows how to make science fiction science fact. And that's what these nerds are always doing. That's what I'm constantly saying is like, these nerds are possessed with, they'll watch a movie or read a comic book and they'll say, we've got to do that at all costs. We need to make cybernetic AI beings. We need to go to the moon. We need to go to Mars. And it's like, bro, if we just like tried to solve human hunger and make the world a better place, that'd be great. If we could just save the earth, if we could get rid of a giant island of plastic, wouldn't that be better? No. We need to be doing all this other dumb stuff. Epstein replies, both are welcome to our secret society, Mitt Agro. I don't know if these guys, it's like they're typing in the dark. So anyways, Epstein says there's a secret society that he's apparently in called Mitt Agro, and Bill Hyman and Jeff Ling are welcome to join. And I think I'll put on my rational hat. I think he's, when it says Mitt, it's all lowercase, but I think he's meaning MIT, right? Because Epstein loved these nerds at MIT. So there's a secret society at MIT called Agro, I guess. I'm just not sure. Someone says, Jeff is crazy. Epstein says, I like crazy. And we hear Jeff Ling loves the idea. Then later Epstein writes, I sent Bill a note after talking to Wash. He is causing them to rethink the charitable deduction for overseas programs. Donald is not pragmatic. That takes thinking ability. Shots fired at Donald. He is setting himself up as part of yesterday's establishment and their perceived mistakes. Now, let me talk. Previous in the chain on this text threads, they're discussing Bill Gates through a Forbes article on foreign aid. All right. And Epstein apparently was in communication with Trump or Trump's people. So take that for what it's worth. Then later redacted says, and when BG goes to see Jared and Ivanka, they tell him he is a genius. BG, I'm assuming, means Bill Gates. Or maybe it's the Hot Boys, right? The Hot Boys rapper, BG. I don't know. But they were talking about Bill Gates earlier, so it's got to be Trump. Bill Gates. And then it says later, and Trump tells him he's a genius to his face. And if you recall, Bill Gates was at Mar-a-Lago in 25, right after he won the presidency. So this illusion of like left wing, right wing, and like Bill Gates is a big bleeding heart lib and Trump's a conservative. No, they're all hanging out together. They're in the same team. Then he says, it's okay. He will believe it when it happens. And then I'll hear, I told you so. Trump tells everyone the exact same thing. Exact. Then it says, Bill says Trump will never get the budget cuts through. He claims he's spoken to senators and that they will fight and that the White House can't unilaterally do a budget like that. Two, he says Trump can't unilaterally change the tax code. Three, he says Trump will be in power 3.5 more years or less, and that his foundation has a 30-year life. Not sure what he means. I'm afraid we both know how someone writes back. I'm afraid we both know how this will end, and Trump won't lose. Kind of strange, right? It's funny to see the machinations of what's going on behind the scenes there, especially because Bill Gates is pretty close with Epstein, it seems. Wizard of Oz. We talked about this in Kubrick's Code. Eyes wide shut. Going over the rainbow, disassociating. You know, Tommy Salami, he goes to the over or under the rainbow. He goes over the rainbow costume shop. Entering a different world, a realm where the elites are doing elite things. Mm-hmm. And the irony is that his daughter claimed that he hated the Wizard of Oz. And if you know anything about David Lynch, you know David Lynch loved The Wizard of Oz. The Wizard of Oz is a very polarizing movie, apparently. There's an email from David Grossoff to Epstein in May 2010, and it has an obituary for a guy named Martin Gardner. Martin Gardner, who, it says this, Martin Gardner, who teased brains with math puzzles for a quarter century and who indulged his own restless curiosity by writing more than 70 books on topics as diverse as magic, philosophy, and Alice in Wonderland, died Saturday at 95. He was in an assisted living in Norman, his son James said, confirming the death. Gardner also wrote fiction, poetry, literary, and film criticism, as well as puzzle books. He was a leading voice in refuting pseudoscientific theories from ESP to flying saucers. He's prolific in his interest that critics speculated that there just had to be more than one of him, which makes me think of human cloning, right? His mathematical writings intrigued a generation of mathematicians, but he never took a college math course. If it seemed the only thing this polymath could not do was play music on a saw, rest assured there's a way he could, and quite well. He's one of the great intellects produced in this country in the 20th century, said Douglas Hofstadter. and it goes through a bunch of admirers of him, and some guy mentioned him in a book. There's an asteroid named after him. And Mr. Gardner responded that his life wasn't really that interesting. It's lived mainly inside my brain, he said. Gardner was born in 1914, where his father started an oil company. As a boy, he liked magic tricks, chess, science, and mechanical puzzles. His mother learned to read by looking at the words on the page as she read him L. Frank Baum's Oz books. As an adult, he wrote a sequel called The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, or I'm sorry, a sequel to The Wonderful Wizard of Oz called Visitors from Oz, where Dorothy encounters characters from the Alice in Wonderland books and Geraldo Rivera. And I dug into Geraldo because he plays a role in, oh my goodness, one of these Epstein subplots. I don't even remember anymore. There's so much Epstein stuff floating around. He was apparently, the cops were called on Geraldo because he was at the Epstein house and wouldn't leave or something. I don't know. Anyway. Now, Gardner, if you look up his Wikipedia, says he is the leading authority on Alice in Wonderland, which I found interesting, you know, because obviously Alice in Wonderland, Lewis Carroll was a big time lover of the kids, if you know what I'm saying. But he's also very fascinated with Wizard of Oz, which is interesting, right? What's with the Wizard of Oz? Well, if you go to MK Ultra series, I believe it was in part 4, we talked about Kathy O'Brien's transformation of America and how the Wizard of Oz plays into this. She said that Wizard of Oz and Alice in Wonderland were two pieces of entertainment she was forced to watch as a kid. Or forced to watch, I should say. Because they are all about disassociating and going over the rainbow, creating a altar through trauma. All right. So then there's another email from Faith Cates to Faith Cates. Don't ask why. It's in the files, though. December 2017, Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And it says, did you know Somewhere Over the Rainbow was a song written about Israel during the 2014... Oh, sorry, during about Israel. During the 2014 Oscars, they celebrated the anniversary of the release by having Pink sing Somewhere Over the Rainbow, but few people realized while listening that the unforgettable song is deeply embedded in the you-know-who-ish experience. It's no accident, for example, that the greatest Christmas songs of all time were written by you-know-whos. For example, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was written by Johnny Marks. White Christmas was penned by, someone else. But perhaps the most poignant song emerging from the mass exodus from Europe was Somewhere Over the Rainbow, with lyrics written by Yip Harburg. He was the youngest of four children born to Russian Yunahuish immigrants. His real name was Isidore Hochberg, and he grew up in a Yiddish-speaking home in New York. The music was written by Harold Arlen, a Cantor's son. His real name was Hyman Arluck, and his parents were from Lithuania. Together, they wrote Somewhere Over the Rainbow, voted the 20th century's number one song by the Recording Industry Association of America and the National Endowments of the Arts. In writing it, the two men reached deep into their immigrant consciousness, framed by the programs of the past and about the event that was about to happen with the Mini Mustache Man, and wrote an unforgettable melody set to near prophetic words. If you read the lyrics into the context, it's suddenly the words are no longer about Wizards and Oz, but about survival. And it goes through the lyrics of, you know, Over the Rainbow. I could sing it for you if you want, but you don't. Then it says he talked about wanting to fly like a bluebird away from the chimney tops. And, you know, it talks about the places where they had chimney tops. It says Pink's mom is Judith Kugel. She's a you-know-who-ish of Lithuanian background. As Pink was belting the Harburg Arlen song, I wasn't thinking about the movie. I was thinking about Europe's lost immigrants. And I was then struck by the irony that for 2,000 years, the land that they once heard of once in a lullaby was not America, but Israel. The remarkable thing would be that less than 10 years later, after Somewhere Over the Rainbow was published, the exile was over and the state was born. Perhaps the dreams that you dare to dream really come true. So, Kubrick's Code, we talked about Wizard of Oz, but I've gone deeper since then. I believe I did a whole episode on Eyes Wide Shut with Wizard of Oz. Now I did 4 episodes on The Wizard of Oz. If you're interested in any of that, if you're like, dude, where do you find all these links? If you're on the free feed, go to IlluminatiWatch.com, look for the index of all episodes, and I have them on there. If you're on Patreon, you can search. There's like a search function. If you can find it on the homepage, patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher, you can find it. Now, the screenplay for Eyes Wide Shut was written by Frederick Raphael. And the original password to get into the sexy time party for Tom Cruise, it wasn't Fidelio. It was Oz. All right. So, you know, there's a connection here between, you know, Blavatsky's theosophy, because Baum was a theosophist, and you got Crowley, who wrote Liber Oz, you know, book 77, which is all about man's new religion of Thelema. And social Darwinian satanic ideas, right? Man has the right to kill those who would thwart others. You know, it's all in this book 77. There's a bunch of statements they make, like every man and woman is a star, and it's like kind of a proclamation, I guess. It also says the slave shall serve, which is what these elites. That's where the elites subscribe to this Crowley idea. They do think this slave shall serve them. And then also you got Bobby Beausoleil from the Manson family. He was in the magic powerhouse of Oz before he got recruited by Kenneth Anger for the film Lucifer Rising and so on. Along with Mick Jagger from the Rolling Stones. And guess who was in the Epstein Files? Mick Jagger, right? There's photos of him hanging out with Epstein. Isn't there? I think. Which is a bummer. I love the Rolling Stones. So The Wizard of Oz is an initiation film, basically, right? And a lot of people point to it and they say, well, it's about the demiurge Gnostic false god, the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain, who is revealed as a fraud. And, but the idea of going over the rainbow is to enter another realm, basically, is like the short version, right? And we talked about this with MKUltra being a form of going over the rainbow to create another altar so that when you're being abused, you can access the altar's mind and sort of escape the abuse for the time being. Dark stuff. Now, the first draft of Eyes Wide Shut, also another Wizard of Oz reference. Do you remember when Tom Cruise goes to Malik's costume shop over the rainbow? And he's got a daughter, right? An underage daughter who he later offers up to Tom Cruise, by the way. Her name, Milich's daughter, her name was supposed to be Dorothy. And in the script, in the screenplay, the Japanese men that Malik finds messing with his daughter and acting like he's really upset, they were supposed to be humming Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Isn't that something? Isn't that interesting? And you can read all about that in the Making of Eyes Wide Shut. That's not a crazy conspiracy claim. But what is a crazy conspiracy claim is the Adreno stuff, right? Adreno foam. What other words can I say? I don't know. And we talked about this in Kubrick's Code. I think this is in Kubrick's Code. Don't quote me. But in the film Clockwork Orange, when Alex and his droogies, they're at the milk bar, the Korova milk bar. They would drink milk, which I've got a whole show about milk and the occult symbolism of it that I'm doing, working on. They're drinking milk laced with drugs. And you can see a list of those drugs on the wall. And one of them is what? It's, you know, Dren. And the second half of the word is chrome. How did Kubrick know? How did he know this? I mean, it could be it was in the book, right? Anthony Burgess. But then you go to Eyes Wide Shut. And like I was talking about earlier, I bought the book Cult and the Occult. And I looked for the passages that the Making of Eyes Wide Shut book claims Kubrick had looked at to create the Gnostic Mass, the sexy time orgy scene at the Somerton Rothschild mansion. And if you read the whole section, it talks about a concept called shunamitism, where they would take a young child and through like osmosis, they would lay with the child to harness their energy, to harness their life force, to heal themselves or become immortal. A guy named Barbarossa was doing this. Heinrich Himmler's pilots were doing this. It was a practice that they used to do. And we're, you know, they don't teach us stuff in schools because they don't want you to know these things. And guess who owns the McMillan school books? It was Robert Maxwell, Ghislaine Maxwell's father. Anyhow, where's this in the Epstein files? Right, EFTA 01246049. There's an FBI form from September 2019 with an interview with a survivor from Epstein. A million redactions, by the way. It says here that, I mean, I'm going to read you with the redaction stuff, so it might sound goofy. This person stated that he first met Epstein at approximately age 4 while at the East Greenwich, Rhode Island, stated that his families were members of the redacted, stated at the time he was essayed by his great uncle and that Epstein was present and did not touch him, stated that after he was essayed by his uncle, Epstein then spoke with him, stated he did not know the identity of Epstein until some unspecified time in 2016. Further stated in sum and substance that while on a large luxury ship that sailed out of Newport Boat Show in Newport, Rhode Island, approximately 8 years of age, he was subjected to some type of medical exam about the yacht by an unknown doctor while his great uncle and family member were present. Went on to describe a bizarre event in which redacted inserted a tape measure into his, you know, backside. Stated, redacted, subsequent to the exam, quote unquote, he was then essayed by Jeffrey Epstein, as well as former United States President William Clinton, while in a heavy drug-induced state. Also stated the bottoms of his feet and back were slashed. Stated also during the yacht trip, multiple unknown males were engaged in acts with unknown females who had their backs slashed. It's hard to read. Also described several infants being, you know, taken out and their intestines removed and other acts of eating them. Also stated former U.S. President George H.W. Bush also engaged in some of these acts. Henry Kissinger, George Soros, all being on the yacht. asked if he had injuries or scars for evidence, and he said, on my backside, but was unable to provide any supporting or corroborating evidence on the identities or witnesses to support his claims. Provided handwritten list of family and extended family members. It was not clear what investigative value, if any, the list held. He said his great uncle is in possession of video evidence of his crimes against, as well as several other films of people taking out other people that had watched in his presence of his great uncle. Jeez Louise. I had a hard time with that one. Sorry, folks. So there's one instance of them messing with kids in the worst ways possible, right? Let's talk about Peter Thiel. He's besties with Epstein. And he's into all this life extension talk, right? Well, he was interested in a company called Ambrosia LLC that was doing trials to transfuse young people's blood into old people for life extension. I mean, it's really odd how they're all into this, isn't it? Then there's an email, EFTA00165024, from redacted to redacted, that says, this article popped up just after my friend in Canada was telling me this story of her at four with Rudolph Rudy Tanzi, Harvard scientist for Epstein. I've also uploaded the following screenshots to the cloud drive I shared with you under folder Canada. And then it shows a variety of screenshots of DMs from a person named Some Girl 07. And this is a wild one too. I had to kind of piece them together because the timestamps, they were out of order and stuff, right? This person says, someone tweeted a while ago showing that Epstein requested permits to dig really far deep down on his property, but didn't dig in the locations where he got the permits. He was digging in other locations, apparently, and these might be the locations that were pointed out to me. The person replies, can I tell the FBI this? And Some Girl writes back, of course, they need to do a deeper investigation into this. And if it's true that they were harvesting the chrome and organs there, it was set up like the underground temple, etc., were there. They would have seen and partook in the harvesting of that stuff. Names redacted. Of course, right? But she's saying there's people involved with it. She hasn't commented about the underground temple on the island, so there's apparently a temple underground on the island. I mean, did you know this? There's claims of tunnels and stuff. She hasn't told the full truth of everything. She's covered up stuff, including knowledge of them actually harvesting the chrome and organs. It's not a made-up conspiracy. It's real. The reply goes, I know that they cater to anything on that island, sacrificing included. Then the reply says, I know so many survivors of Ismaili satanic ritual abuse. Then it says, I was told that the temple was cemented in so you could not have any access to the underground temple, and a fake door was painted on the building. I was just told these things. I was never at any of these locations. I believe it, though, because as a child, the recruiters that I thought were my friends told me very similar stuff that they actually witnessed. The reply goes, yes, I know of survive that witness children being taken out to future control and terrify them into submission, PTSD mind control. And again, this is like real stuff. We're talking about real stuff. This, like, because there's claims that they make them take out their animals and make them watch this stuff because it's like really traumatic, obviously, right? All right, I got more. Hang on. And one time RT came to my house with this girl and talked me into going to her place. RT actually hid behind the bush outside my home, and when she asked me, she came alone and said her uncle was waiting outside to walk us to her place. So when we walked out of my yard, he jumped out of the bush. Man, I got scared, and he said something like, I guess you don't like being scared, or that I didn't like surprises. I was just shocked to see that it was him. But anyway, as we walked in our way to her apartment, she made me walk slow with her as he walked up ahead. She kept whispering it was a setup. I didn't know what a setup was. I didn't know what that meant. I was like 4 years old. Then she was like, you should go home. And I didn't get it. I was getting upset. And at one point I noticed RT had red lines on the back of his jeans, just horizontal behind his calves. And I was like, hey, you got something in your pants. And he was like, huh? And I was like, yeah, it looks bad. And he was like, oh, I didn't see that. Then because I wasn't taking the hint that there was some kind of setup, because I didn't know what that meant, the girl resorted to being mean to men, to picking a fight so I would go home. And I remember crying and said, I'm going home because she was being mean. And RT said, ignore her. I can still come over and watch cartoons with him on the couch. And I said, no, he wasn't my friend. She was. And if she's being mean, there's no reason for me to go. So I turn around and start walking home. Then just before turning a corner, I looked back and I saw him hitting her, telling her to call me back. And when I got to that corner where they could no longer see me, I ran home. I was then told that stuff in his pants was, human liquid, the red stuff. And it was from sitting on bucket lids that they used to collect this stuff. And it would ooze around the lid and would get on the back of the pant leg that way. Then they have the surveillance photo. They have like photos. I don't know how the photos got there. They look like surveillance photos. They're very grainy of men sitting on these buckets. And then the person says, they're sitting on black buckets here. I was told Jeffrey ordered them directly from China because white buckets stained. Now, and let's wrap all this up in conclusion. Like that last story, you know, I get it. Sometimes people are crazy. That story is too well thought out in the sense of like, how would you even think about that? Right? Like, how would you even think about like, oh yeah, they have to get black buckets because, you know, this stuff can leave stains. And then it was on the back of his jeans. Like, I believe that person. I don't think it would take a very creative mind to come up with that. Right? I mean, is it impossible? No. I mean, people make things up, but like, I don't know. I believe it. Am I crazy? So in conclusion, lots of the salacious claims made from all the times I've covered Kubrick films seem to be correct. All right. And if you want the whole book, it's on Amazon, Audible, all that stuff, right? Or you can get signed books. I got some signed books over here, occultsymbolism.com. But it's disturbing and it's upsetting in a way, right? Because you've got all this crazy stuff that we've talked about. And like what I'm saying is conspiracies used to be fun. And now that they're real, it's hard, man. It's hard. Like, how do we sleep at night with this stuff? You know, I've always been the guy who's like, hey, don't go black pill on us. Right. And I still stand by that. Like, I don't think we should go black pill, but I also don't think we should. It's hard to see this stuff and ignore it and not go black pill. I kind of get where everyone was getting upset in the past and be like, how do you sleep at night? And I'd be like, I don't know. It's fine. I don't know what a switch is flipped. All right. But it's upsetting stuff. And I guess like my solace that I always go back to is if you are religious, like for me, I am Christian. Nothing's changed. Nothing has changed for me. I'm still trying to walk in the path of Christ. I still believe that if I hopefully live a good enough life that when I die, I can be in heaven with all, you know, my dogs and my loved ones and the whole fantasy stuff, which, you know, if you're atheist, you're probably like rolling your eyes like, okay, sounds good. You know, it's a fairy. Let me have my fairy tale. All right, please. It's a fairy tale. I'm fine with that if that's what it is. But like nothing changes for me. I still try to walk the path of the way I should live, right? These people are going to pay a price. A stiff penalty in the afterlife if all this stuff is true about religion, right? And it's terrible. It is terrible that these people are running the world right now. So, yeah. Not much else to say besides all the points that we made in Kubrick's Code and on today's show is, like, they can control the media. They're doing this horrific stuff, and they're covering it up. And that's all I got for you. So thank you for listening to the show. Sorry to leave you on such a bummer of a down note. I should have put the buckets talk at the middle of the show to leave you with a palate cleanser. But yeah, that's all the stuff from the Kubricks. Now I'm also working on more stuff on the Epstein files, if you can believe it. I've got even more, but it didn't fit into the Kubrickology of my research. So stay tuned for that. Stay subscribed to the show. And also, again, if you're hearing this in time, I'll be on Coast to Coast Sunday night going into Monday morning, really late, March 15th to 16th. So join me over there. All right. Thank you for listening to the show. Till next time, try to stay positive.